Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
My old friend, forever the boy, who with an errant turn of a skeleton key broke the universe in his own heart, no more. You are now unshackled from the past. As I leave you free.
But why does all this matter? Is something going to happen for which I will be required?
Must it always have galactic import? Universal stakes, celestial upheaval? Isn't one life enough? You ask me why it matters. It matters to me. You matter to me.
Try quantum. Try quantum. Okay. Just try to be quantum and I will shut you down.
All right. Okay.
I think you said it best.
All right. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We're going to get right into it, right into this episode of Picard, because this is the 130th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
No crapping around.
Coming right up the same day is going to be the 131st episode of It's Got Star Trek, because we have to discuss both the Star Trek Picard Season 2 finale, Farewell, that's the name of the episode, and the new episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
So no crapping around.
I mean, the season premiere of Strange New Worlds. Yeah, no crapping around.
It's one of those long evenings.
We gotta be done.
We should have already started.
And no anchovies. I mean it. No anchovies. You put the anchovies on that pizza.
So this is the episode.
I actually like anchovies.
This is the episode.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles didn't, although they liked apparently they like ice cream, marshmallow, bean sprout.
See, I'm not
tofu burger pizza, but they don't like anchovies.
Okay.
If you're combine the canon of the cartoon with the canon of the live movie. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, Dan. It's a reminder that we've just explained that we have a compressed timeline.
Okay.
Since we're doing two episodes.
So we can't talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's all out of my system.
It's just we have to understand the cost
to the Star Trek.
Because yes, time is limited. Okay, and this is the Picard one, the next one.
Just so everybody's straight on where we're going to record.
Yeah, the next one will be Strange New Worlds. This is Picard.
We're going to talk about Picard.
All right. So, Dan, Jesse, you find yourself in a basement.
What?
You find yourself in
a
basement.
Is this some D&D?
Is this Silly or Billy?
How did you guess that already?
Because like I was from playing text adventures as a kid on my Apple II Plus.
Anyway, all right. You find yourself in a basement and
you go, there's a brush to the left.
Your party has just finished watching Star Trek Picard.
There's a door to the north.
The season finale of Star Trek Picard.
There's a fridge to the south.
You're about to podcast.
Open fridge. The fridge is locked.
The podcast has started. What do you do?
Let's attack for three with my.
But we don't normally do that on the podcast. What would you normally do on the podcast?
I would attack.
No. Okay. Fair point. You may in fact do that.
You may.
At least in a figurative sense. No. But you do what? Take an
Some
action.
Sort of
take a podcasting
score
action.
Scorekeeping or winning or losing.
What's a podcasting action you could take?
You could press the button that makes the funny noise.
Okay. I mean, technically that works. But your recalcitrance is aggravating. Oh yeah, Jesse has a guitar this week. Okay, say
that's like a button that makes a funny noise.
Say,
except it's not really a button.
Say, not the Paul McCartney song. Say. Say,
Michael Jackson.
That you would like to make a comment about this week's episode of Star Trek Picard, the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Name a farewell. Say you would like to do that.
The beginning of the end of episode 9, at the very last scene, Picard goes like, come, we have work to do. And they all trudge off into the forest. In this one,
hold on. Hold on. I have to roll to see if you can continue your point.
Oh, you motherfucker. I should have seen this coming.
All right. We got 15 and 11, which is 26, but you needed 32. So
shit.
You can't finish that point.
Oh, man.
It's Jesse's
turn. At least it wasn't a critical fail. I would have somehow like fallen off the chair.
Well, there's still time for that.
Critical fail. Critical hit. Man.
All right. I wasn't making a good point.
I don't think there's a critical fail.
I don't think I was making... Isn't there a critical fail? Yeah.
There's a critical hit.
Isn't it like if you roll a one...
Somebody hits you with a critical.
If you roll like a one
or
something, some bad shit goes down. Because that's just as hard as rolling a duty.
All right. Star Trek Picard.
A duty.
Season finale. No joking around anymore, guys. We're totally going to talk about it now.
I was going to say at the end of episode 10... they do that. He goes, come, we have work to do. At the end of episode 9, at the beginning of episode 10, during the recap, he goes, we must ensure the Europa mission takes off as planned. He says that instead, or maybe in addition to. If you look at the
oh, you mean they're in the similar positioning? And
it was like, yeah, because in episode 9, it was they were in the park and they're running off, but in episode 10, they did the recap.
They're in the California park that is standing in for... Southern France.
Right.
Somewhere in France. Right. Maybe not Southern France.
But it was in the summary. And, you know, the summaries, they always do funny things with those opening...
Oh, the summary. I thought you meant the summer. Oh,
I'm sorry.
I thought you were using a cute term for summer.
No.
Summary.
Summary. No, no. Not like a Belgian beer or whatever. It was like a... it was in the recap. And in recap, got me thinking about how in the recap, they're always like... What do they call that when they overdub the sound? It's called they do it in post when they do
ADR.
ADR. I don't know if it technically qualifies as ADR, but
automated dialogue recording.
But in the
if I recall correctly,
but in the recaps they always put
ADR.
They put the audio and video all out of order and weirdness in the recaps. They'll put audio from one spot in the episode and they'll put it over top of a different spot in the video, and that's what they did there, because instead of just saying come we have work to do like he said in the original scene, they like. Summated some other part of the episode into that one spot and be like, well, what work to do? Well, the audience won't know what work to do in that recap, so we gotta add a line from earlier that makes it gives a more holistic understanding. And he goes, we must ensure the Europa mission takes off as planned.
I always skip the recap because I already saw that shit.
Yeah, I usually skip the recap because sometimes it's like, okay, I don't need to know exactly what. Gonna
I mean, I guess it gives you clues as to what's gonna happen.
You know, it's getting
clues. That's the name of an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Totally, we talked about that.
As time goes on, I find it harder and harder though to remember what happened in season prior, in the season prior, not the episode so much yet, but the season prior of shows.
Yeah. I think it can be a little trickier old age may figure into it, but I think another thing that figures into it, which we can maybe demonstrate over the course of the next few years as Strange New Worlds get started. I think the difference between episodic and serialized storytelling, like it's easier to remember specific episodes, right? It's somehow like the plots are more self-contained and you can sort of place them in some sort of temporal relationship with other episodes and seasons and calendar years and things like that.
Yeah, with any kind of like serialized TV show, they always, unless they have a specific vision in mind, they always stretch that shit out like Taffy. And so it starts to be like, I don't know what's happening anymore. Does it really matter?
And even if it's all super good and entertaining, it just makes it a little trickier to pinpoint because you remember key plot elements, but not necessarily exactly where they went.
Yeah.
However, again, as Jesse suggested, this may be a function of brain degradation associated with the onward march of time.
I think I made that suggestion.
Did you make that suggestion?
Yeah, your brain is degrading.
Well, I said
technically, I should say my brain is degrading.
Degradating.
But I like degrading.
I'm a much big fan of degradation. I'm a much big fan of degrading.
I think all of our brains are degrading.
So now if you're listening to this on YouTube, you can comment how we don't understand how to speak.
Is that a comment on YouTube?
I think one of our earlier episodes, someone was like, I'm not going to listen to you guys because you don't even have a grasp of the English language.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I go, sorry, just telling the truth, you know?
Which is particularly amusing if you know the characters sitting in this podcasting studio at the moment.
Yeah.
Our backgrounds and the way we used to tease each other as children.
Yeah, and it's like this person had a whole conversation with us not even being there for, because it's like, I'm not going to listen to you because you're speaking English, all right? So there, and then he says, like, sorry, as if we were like, hey, man. Chill out, bro. He goes, sorry. And he goes, I'm just telling the truth. It's as if we said, like, hey, man, chill out. And he's like, sorry. And I was like, why'd you say that?
He didn't like how we were speaking English.
Just telling the truth. Except we weren't there to say those things.
That's wait.
All right, I rolled a 22, which means you have to make a point about this episode.
Oh shit!
One of you has to make a point about this episode.
Jesse, you said something real quick. You were saying, I think we mixed up some kind of cliche or saying or something. It was just our stumbling over words like any normal idiot.
Either that, or we were making sophisticated, humorous wordplay way over his head.
I think that's more like it.
I'm agree with that.
Okay, all right, Jesse, point about Star Trek Picard.
I really like listening to like NASA Mission Control chatter. Yeah.
I could not have called that comment, which is awesome.
It's a really soothing sound to me.
Just so that sort of really background.
Cool, yeah, to have, you know, all that.
I like when they do that on Star Trek. Does it work for you in the admittedly fairly rare instances that they do it in Star Trek? You know, they did it in a couple of the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Discovery did that a little bit, whereas in the background, it's like,
Paging Dr. Herman. What about when Star Wars on the Hoth scene where there's these robots that go...
Yeah, I like those. There's a bird in Hawaii that sounds exactly like
that.
Well,
maybe that's what they got.
By bird, do you mean... Like the animal, you're not using some outdated anachronistic term for a woman.
I don't speak like that.
That'd be funny to think of Jesse speaking like
that. I don't say that.
Jesse normally wouldn't speak like that, but it was just the tone. It's like there's a I know this bird in Hawaii, but Jesse, that sound.
But Jesse was specifically speaking about NASA chatter with our
because that's how the episode started.
So there was the whole two Renées thing. So the one who lives and one who dies.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just like two Renées, of course. There was nothing intriguing about it.
I think this was super predictable.
Yeah.
We may have even mentioned this last episode.
Yeah. It sounded almost like the two Renées thing. Like they were manufacturing. There are two Renées.
It's just veering on into Cosby.
Yeah. Rooney. You gotta get the two Renées and give them the jello pudding. God, that's...
And what's in the jello pudding, Dr. Cosby?
What did
you put in the jello pudding?
No, this is why we can't do that joke anymore. It's not even a joke. It's just an impression turns into a very distasteful route.
Yes.
The two Renées.
Can't talk about that guy at all.
Which does sound like a vaudeville act.
Yes. Well, it seems like it was a manufactured cliffhanger almost. Like they didn't have a good cliffhanger for the last episode, so they forced one in there because by cliffhanger I mean they were like, two Renées? What are you talking about? Credits roll. You know, it's like, oh my god, what are the two Renées? And it seems like they just kind of added that in the last second. It made me think
it's
like
a lot of fancy talk.
It's fancy prophecy talk.
It was a little bit prophecy talk, wasn't it?
It was just the showrunners making a cliff. It seemed like showrunners making a cliffhanger.
Well, we're not at contrary purposes here, Dan. Jesse and I think agree, wouldn't you say, Jesse, with that point that it was a somewhat artificial cliffhanger and part and parcel of the artificiality, in my view, is that it was sort of a prophecy.
Yeah, but it was
forsooth.
But it was a stretch.
There must be two Renées. I know, it was one who lives and one who dies.
Well, it was needlessly cryptic then.
Precisely, which is prophecies tend to be needlessly cryptic.
Okay, well,
and it just sort of came out of nowhere, and it's like, well, why didn't you say that like
yesterday
when they entered the timeline?
And that's the structure of, well, TV used to be you have to structure some kind of minor cliffhanger at every commercial break and then a major one at the end of the episode. At least now you only need one every episode. But if this was a trilogy of movies, this being one movie,
a trilogy of movies.
I was suggesting that Picard was a trilogy of movies, season two was its own movie.
Yeah, right.
They wouldn't have had that part in there at all. They would have cut that shit. That wouldn't have been in there. They would have probably cut
that. It would have gotten edited out.
They edited out. It would have got edited out. They probably would have cut out the character of Wells altogether because that one didn't.
That, you're right. Yeah, forgot about that. Bella totally didn't pan out into anything particular.
And I feel like the whole.
Because for a minute there, I was like, who the hell are you talking about?
I thought you were talking about Wellesley. Mr. Wensleydale.
So it made me think.
Wensleydale? Yes. Oh, I'll have some of that then. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my name.
Wallace.
Mr. Wensleydale.
We're Wallace and Gromit.
Okay.
You got any cheese?
Sorry.
No. So, I apologize to you.
So the whole getting arrested thing in episode eight, that was just... it seems similar. That was just to provide a cliffhanger for that episode. You see what I'm saying? Like just how the two Renees was a cliffhanger for episode 10. Getting arrested by Wells was a cliffhanger in episode 8.
Which I'm fine with.
And it seemed manufactured because the entire episode was just sort of reconciliation for the whole forced cliffhanger. It's like, why did they go to jail? What was the whole point? They came across some things. Guinan said some things of humans aren't trapped in the past. They deal with their past, which we can get to later because Q said...
Something similar,
but along the same lines. same except different. But anyway,
same
so
except different.
So I just want to bring up that what was the whole point of episode like the episode? I guess it was eight going into the one they were in prison was 7 going into 8. Sorry, right?
Like I said, serialized storytelling makes it difficult. I think that's correct.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think the cliffhanger on 7 then. The them getting arrested in the end of episode 7 was just a cliffhanger to set up just a cliffhanger they needed to have, and then 8 was just them trying to get out of jail, and there was this whole backstory with this guy Wells, and that didn't go anywhere.
There are different perspectives on the best way to utilize a serialized short season format, and some people do consider the seasons to be sort of extended movies. Other people,
maybe
the arc extends over the season, but there are individual sort of stories along the way and individual beats. Again, even if they all contribute directly to the main plot, something like, Orphan Black, I think, is a very good example, or The Expanse, where they have really pretty heavily serialized storytelling, but each episode is moving that plot along, but it's got its own things going on in it.
Which is
basically what they did here.
Which I agree, that is, like, you can't have it all focused around the main story the whole time. You can, but it's exciting to have these little side stories, but the side stories are supposed to make you think about something.
I agree with that.
Whether it's a cool action stuff all the way through, that makes you think about the cool action shit, whether it's some kind of point about whatever kind of philosophy you want to think of, that's a point. It just has to have sort of a purpose to it, you know?
Even if
it's just to show some people doing some awesome spin kicks.
I think my opinion on this episode, I enjoyed the whole thing. However, especially on the second watch through, I found everything up until Talon is dying to be just sort of predictable and not particularly interesting. Kind of what you're saying is they were going through the motions of let's wrap all this stuff up. Mm. It was nicely presented. The special effects were cool. The acting was good.
It was a series of little wrap-ups.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like, all right, and then Soong has his terror drones, and he's going to push his way around and try to, you know, get in touch with Renee at the NASA, and he's pulling out all the stops.
He had to stagger the launches so they couldn't hack them for some reason.
Or
hardwire the subroutine. That's what Raffi had to hardwire the subroutine, and they were going to stop. They said it was easier to take control of the drones than it is to destroy the drones.
Take control of your groans.
And speaking of controlling your groans, in wrestling, it's 2 points for a takedown and 2 points for a reversal. So if you think of it like that, to destroy the drone is like a takedown, and reverse to control the drone is like a reversal. So by that logic, taking control of a drone should be just as difficult as destroying a drone,
Is that point system, is that in real wrestling or in like Olympic style wrestling?
Well, I mean, they're both, wait a second. Okay, never mind.
You know, like WWE is the real wrestling.
Yeah, that's the real one, right? Yeah, right? In real wrestling.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you were using real wrestling, you know, you're right. You got me on that. I totally you fucked me
Bobby
up.
Hill. Yeah, Bobby Hill. King
totally,
of the Hill.
Totally fucked my shit up. And then they staggered the launch of the drones because that was weird. Like, why'd they stagger the launch of the drones, huh? Why'd they do that? They were like, we can't shut them down because they staggered the launch. How about that?
How about that indeed, my friend?
I wonder how that works. Yeah. Let's just stagger them. Anyways, making a point about...
All I'm saying is all that whole chunk of the episode up to that point, it's not that I didn't find it entertaining while I was watching it. It's just not memorable other than some of the stuff where you're like, Why does Sung have all these drones? Like, is he?
Why is he so delighted in killing people?
Is he a geneticist?
He's, he loves killing people now.
Well,
he finds it so delightful.
I don't see signs that he wants to kill people. I see signs that he is just desperate for that recognition, narcissistic recognition. So he doesn't care about killing people if that means it'll get him to that point.
Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't mind that billions of people will die because of ecological disaster.
When he killed Talon, he thought it was so clever how he killed Talon.
Yes.
He was just
had no remorse, and he was amused by it, but the amusement was not like, I'm watching your life drip from your eyes.
It's because I'm so clever.
Yeah. I tricked you. Yeah. And you're, because he still thinks it's Renee, he thinks he's accomplished his mission.
Man, was he upset when he found out.
Boy, he was pissed. Truth. And then to add insult to injury, fucking his own daughter erased his life's work.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
So yeah, Sung made the drones, and then you were making the point, and I kept interrupting you.
No, I think I've succeeded in making my point weaving in between your interruptions and playful expressions.
It was a grand tapestry.
Yes.
Hey, what does that lead into?
That leads into our first break.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then Dan, me, Patrick, and Jesse, and Jesse's guitar will be right back. Okay, we're back. It's Got Star Trek, the podcast you've been listening to thus far.
That's pretty good. Was it, speaking of grand tapestries, I used to think they were pronounced tapestries.
And why did you think that?
Because I was young.
Because of it looked like the word tape.
Yeah, why not?
Did you think it was tape estry or tapestry?
Tapestry, no, like pastry.
See, if you're reading it incorrectly, it would be tapestry.
Maybe I thought it was pastry.
Maybe you did, and you just aren't telling us.
I just am not, but I'm telling you now.
Let me roll to determine.
When? Just now. Oh, no, you dropped the dice on the ground.
We got a 35.
Got a 35? Does that mean
that means you were lying to us and you used to tapestries were called pastries.
Wait a second. So what's the success roll here? Because last time I had to get at least 32 to finish my topic.
Well, it depends on the action. There's all sorts of variables that go into it.
What are you rolling on over there?
He said I'm rolling on my laptop. Now, first I rolled.
I mean, literally, I'm rolling it on my laptop. These are a couple of D20s.
No, first. First
a couple of D20s.
Wait. First time.
D20s.
D20s, yes.
D20s.
Okay, no, first time when you rolled.
That's the plural of D20 is D20.
Yes.
D's.
What? When I first was trying to make my point and you rolled and you said you needed at least a 32 to finish your point, I didn't roll high enough. This time, what did I roll too high?
You're actually supposed to say 2d20.
Yeah, I don't know how to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Now did I roll too high? I had to get a 35 or less.
I just started reading the manual the other day.
So you're just rolling over there.
It's been years. It's been years.
Look, as long as you have a system that you go by.
Look, we've freely admitted that we've been Magic the Gathering types for decades.
As long as they're...
So that got in the way of extending and continuing our D&D play.
As long as you have your own set of rules, one can equal 12 for all I care.
Okay, but I'm just... I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'm relying on just picking something that sounds more amusing in the moment.
Okay. Speaking of grand tapestries...
Okay.
Can I roll?
You should.
Yeah, you want me to roll for you? All right. You got double sixes.
Which means I meant pastries.
Okay.
Speaking of grand pastries, was it known that
was it known?
There's so much preparation for this.
Was it known? That's my question. Was it known, Jesse?
What was known?
Was it known?
What was?
What are you doing?
Was it known, Jesse?
We have to do a whole other podcast after this.
Okay.
It's not about the time. It's about the degree of aggravation we can endure in a single evening.
Okay. Was it known?
Was it known?
Why are you saying that? You're adding like syllables.
You're making me do this.
It's got like four syllables now.
Yeah. Was it known?
All love to our Australian listeners.
Yeah, much love.
Much love.
Much respect.
Yeah.
how do they make a sandwich in Australia? I don't know, upside down? Oh, it's Australia. That was the joke for a while on Reddit, is everything in Australia was upside down.
It was on Reddit. I thought you meant in kindergarten.
Yeah, well, might as well be the same thing.
Oh.
All right.
I'm just funning you guys. Don't dox me, please.
Was it known
that Will Wheaton? Oh God, no, oh, man, I gotta redo that one. I mean, no. You can keep that in if you want.
I mean, I am.
But I specifically was gonna be like, don't do Will Wheaton. Don't fucking do that. That's disrespectful.
You didn't want to do it because you didn't want to disrespect him, or you didn't want to reference Family Guy.
It doesn't apply here, and I didn't mean to do that, Will Wheaton. I'm sorry.
Cool Whip.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Then it's such low hanging fruit at this point, you know. But
and old low hanging fruit, old rotting old low hanging fruit.
Gross, that's disgusting. Yeah. So it is funny, but it was not the time or place. So. Was it known
I thought you were referring to Will Wheaton's cameo.
No, no. That'd be fucked up.
It was funny, but it's neither the time nor the place. I'm sure some asshole on the internet thinks exactly that.
I meant the joke Will Wheaton.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Was it known that Will Wheaton was going to be on Picard?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Jesse?
I think they kept it under wraps.
I was expecting him to be on, like, the next season with all the other people.
But he ain't going to be.
And it was sort of clear that he wasn't going to be. So I was like, well, what about Wesley?
He traveled.
And so we got him this time.
He traveled from season 3 to season 2.
That's going to be the spinoff show with him and Corey is going to be called, would you say, Jesse? You said, what's the deal with Will Wheaton or something? Yeah, you said something along those lines. But I have since forgotten.
Where's Will Wheaton?
Where the hell is Will Wheaton? Where's Will Wheaton at?
For the record, I liked
what
that.
About,
I think
I said, what about Will Wheaton?
Will Wheaton?
I thought that was a fun cameo. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. What about
Wesley? I thought there was nothing wrong. There was
I love Will Wheaton.
It,
he's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
And the idea that they've both wrapped up, or at least, you know, closed off the end of Will Wheaton's Wesley storyline. Because
yeah, totally.
He sort of was left off.
Right.
Brief nonverbal appearance in Nemesis aside.
Was that the one where Riker got stabbed in the stomach? No, that was a different one when Riker became a Q. Will Wheaton got stabbed in the stomach. Wesley got stabbed in the stomach.
Wesley just left with the Traveler.
Oh, Wesley was a dick to Geordi, and then he left with the Traveler, right?
I mean, that sounds about right.
Maybe a simplification. But yes, so Wesley left with the Traveler, and that's really the last substantive knowledge we have of him in the on-screen canon.
But he told a joke and he messed up a whole century. I bet it was like the 13th century.
That's probably going to explain the plot to a future century. Star Trek series.
Maybe it was the 14th century.
Are you're probably just saying that.
I'm positing it. I don't know it.
But I mean, do you think there's any, like, you're saying it as a funny, like, wouldn't that be, you're musing.
I'm musing.
You didn't hear anything.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Because I would watch that show.
I would watch it too. There are a number of spinoffs that I would watch, and some of them they seem to be closing off the options, like with Rios deciding to stay behind.
See,
which was something that there were definitely hints of throughout the season, especially the idea that they would do the Reversio Star Trek IV, since they were doing so much Star
Reversio.
Trek IV-y stuff.
The
punchline would be that they would do the Reversi Star Trek IV, and instead of the lady going into the future, the man would stay in the past.
The Rios thing, speaking of Reversi, so I was talking about how I thought Rios was going to stay in the past, end up staying in the past, and we just didn't mention that, but I was sort of wrong about him, and I only said it because, like, I didn't give it a lot of thought, but I was half saying, kind of all the way saying, kind of maybe saying that the reason he stayed back was because he was sacrificing himself to stay back.
I'm gonna die. I have to hold the switch down. Yeah, I have to hold the button.
But then he gets to live with Teresa. I mean, one of those.
Which is a lot nicer and less bleak and depressing.
Yeah, but it's unintentionally had a similar effect, though, because instead of going back in time to save someone, someone got saved as a result of him going back in time. So he didn't go back in time to save a person. He didn't, let's say it was Elnor, right? So he didn't go back in time to save Elnor or the crew. He went back in time and it retroactively ended up saving Elnor because Q had enough power left. Q had enough power to do so.
He just appeared out of nowhere. Like it was nothing.
Yeah,
he was like, wait, what a minute, wait.
So he did. So him going back in time did save someone on the crew. Now I think that makes me think they just wrote Elnor out of the season just because like they didn't want to get rid of the character. They just didn't know what to do with him.
And possibly also COVID stuff. Honestly, I think we'll. Right. There's some rumors. And there's some more concrete stuff. No, I'm just saying in terms of the limiting people and where people can travel to and from, and maybe he was off in some other country or something. You know, I don't know.
Is he from New Zealand?
I don't know. He's from someplace.
Somewhere.
But with the Rios thing, although it makes total sense, and they kind of hinted at the...
It is kind of dark how he dies.
Well, it's a fun dark. It's like pirate dark that he dies in a bar brawl trying to protect...
He's smoking a cigar.
He said materials.
He said not much... Guinan said not much younger than Teresa when she died of old age, so it must have been... What is he like 70 when he got in this fight? I don't know.
Who knows? But
maybe she might have been kidding.
The concern I had last week, or the thing that I thought was potentially evidence against him staying in the past, in addition to the basic, you shouldn't stay in the past and mess up the timeline. But of course, they've done this before, like on yesterday's Enterprise when they let alternate Tasha go into the stay in the past on the Enterprise C because she was like, I found out I'm gonna die. I won't even be here if you
and that's like the worst period in Earth history according to Star Trek.
Well, and so that's the thing about the World War III, which we know is going to happen soon. My concern was
it's going to be happening at Adam soon.
Is it a good idea? Nice thought that somebody stays behind with this nice doctor and her son, knowing that in a few years they will be enduring World War III? And they didn't state it outright, but Guinan basically said they went through some dark shit.
Yeah,
and they got through it, and they helped a bunch of people. So I liked that they did that. I still lament that it seems to realistically close off possibilities for a Rios captaining the Stargazer spinoff, which I would have enjoyed.
That would have been cool.
Now, if they want to do a 7 of 9 captaining the Stargazer or some other starship,
they could do that now.
And hanging out with, getting orders from Admiral Janeway and stuff, well, that's okay by me as well. And they can toss Elnor in, they can toss Raffi in.
That's probably a given at this point.
They can occasionally stop by and see Queen Jurati just to shoot the shit, sing a few karaoke songs.
B. Jurati.
Can Janeway meet Elnor?
Janeway can meet Elnor.
Janeway.
And she'll be all like, Elnor.
Elnor. Elnor.
Want some coffee?
Want some coffee. Don't drink that other stuff. Drink this coffee.
Don't drink that Romulan tea.
Just drink this coffee.
One day we'll be able to do a proper Janeway impression.
One day.
What the hell do you think happens to Neelix?
No,
who
he's
gives a shit.
He's dead. He was murdered by his own family.
Yeah, somebody really. He fucking left his family to die because he found a girl he wanted to, get with, and so he killed his mom.
He went back to Earth, and they were like, "We got to get
2 years old." Jesus,
no, it's a weird storyline.
Guinan is like, Guinan knew this whole time. That rascal, she knew this whole time. Yeah. We can go back to TNG and rewatch.
She had that picture chilling there.
We can rewatch TNG and have all the conversations between her and him, and we'd be like, she knows the whole time what's gonna happen.
A lot of people on the internet are, railing about this show. Now, not real people, not actual human beings.
No, I think they're trolls.
The actual human beings, many people enjoyed this episode. Many people mildly enjoyed it. Some people were not big fans of it. But the made-up robot troll people, they're the ones who are all like, this timeline doesn't make any sense. Time travel, it's all inconsistent. And it's so frustrating because it's like you're watching Star Trek. I mean, Guinan can say whatever the fuck she wants. There's a Q guy who can snap his fingers and do magic. I mean, I understand it's nice if there's some internal consistency, but I mean, what, Guinan senses that the Enterprise C is from an alternate blah blah blah. It's like, come on, they add shit as they need to add shit to tell the story. Your mileage will vary whether or not you enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the season, but this episode I found the first half of it kind of like blah, and then everything after that I really loved, and I like from Talon started dying in Picard's arms and her little conversation with him, from that point forward I was like, this is rocking out, I'm enjoying all these
rocking
beats
out.
I'm getting all teary-eyed and it's all like cool and charming and all this other fun stuff. Picard hugs Q and it seems all sincere.
Yeah, that actually,
John Delancey did a master class in being all
I don't know if anyone had a problem with the Picard Q hug or not, but I thought it was really touching. Yeah. You know? I mean, it sounds cheesy, it was like, it was kind of nice. Kind of put a nice bow on that whole Q and Picard thing.
It's like Picard sees Q differently now. You can tell he's like almost smiling or something. It's like you know.
Yeah, and
it's like you're all right.
When you look back to if you look back to All Good Things,
I can see Q Lee now. Renee is gone.
When you look back in All Good Things,
Q Lee.
When you look back on All Good Things, everything sort of you guys fucking derailed my shit.
he just I wasn't accompanying you.
I think he was talking about your alternate lyrics.
I just kept waiting for you to go to the next verse. I was like, he's going to go to the next verse in about 5 seconds. No, but
I couldn't.
You were going to.
No, I wasn't, because I couldn't think of any lyrics. No, but I couldn't improvise any lyrics to the next verse due to significant and severe brain degradation.
Yeah, but you would. If you could, you would have.
I would if I could.
Your morality didn't stop you.
I get your point. You were correct to predict.
All right.
Such a thing.
So, and All Good Things.
Did you say my morality didn't stop me?
I mean,
I just clocked that. But you're right, it did not.
In All Good Things, the relationship between Q and Picard and all things, it was a great ending, you know, and everything was great, and everything was cool, and that was a really good ending. So you thought everything was all good with Q and Picard.
All good things.
I don't understand what's going on right now.
I'm listening.
I'm enjoying this. This is one of those moments where I'm just like making a quick point, and now it's becoming like some big thing.
So is this, in Picard parlance, is this one of those moments you would like to relive or not?
No,
like
I
to
just
relive?
Want to get through my fucking statement.
All right.
I was saying was that the Q-Picard relationship in All Good Things was like pretty well established, but then they were able to take it a step further in this season. And it still worked. Even though it could have ended in All Good Things, they took it a step further in this one to a place I didn't even know I wanted.
I agree. I agree.
I didn't even know I wanted to.
I would say that about the show in general, that it kind of went to some unexpected places. I wasn't seeing the whole Big Hirati thing coming.
She was like, she looked
until
like...
Until it started happening.
She looked pretty good as a Borg. She didn't look as moldy Borg Queen usually
looked.
Looks
a little bit like Darth Vader without his helmet, kind of. But better.
A little bit.
But better. You know, better look. You know,
like healthier.
Like a healthier kind of.
not all withered and not sad.
Yeah, not a sad old man destroyed by the dark side or whatever the fuck that was. That's a different movie.
In Star Trek Picard parlance.
We don't talk about Star Wars.
We don't talk about Star Wars.
I guess speaking of parlance of taking things back, I mean, yeah, I could have taken that moment back, but that wouldn't have stopped you. But speaking of taking things back, there's the key. There was the whole key thing. The key thing.
Yes, that was good.
That was key.
That was gah.
Well, like I said, all of that stuff that happens afterwards, I think is very well written and well constructed. You know, little nitpicks here and there about time travel shenanigans.
Whenever you watch anything about time travel, you're always sort of signing up for some kind of inconsistency.
It's like in Back to the Future. Why did Marty pick 10 minutes before to stop the Libyans? Like, why not like a couple days ahead of time to stop the Libyans from killing Dr. Brown?
Right. Well, in Bill and Ted's world, there's a regular timeline that goes on that keeps going forward even if your other timeline isn't. I think that happens in like another show too or something. Where it's like you have the timeline, it's like you go back in time, but even while you're back in time, your hometown. No, not Malcolm in the Middle, I don't think. You're thinking the one with BattleBots, but that wasn't that one. Where it's like you go travel to another place in time, and then while you're in the other place in time, your home timeline is still going forward.
My point being, I teared up.
Sci-fi shit.
I teared up when at the point that it got me was after Talon is talking to Picard, and blah blah blah. You know, don't hide your secrets. I learned that just now. Tying her story to Picard's story, right? She suffers from the same thing Picard has in remaining secret, hiding herself and not, you know, being in love with somebody, you know, in a familial sense at the very least, and not communicating with them. And she's making that analogy to Picard and blah, blah, blah. He should be nice and go make babies or whatever the plan is with Laris. And then, you know, she's like starting to die or whatever. But, you know, Picard is like...
She's starting to die.
Well, when the rocket launches, Picard is all like, look up, right? On the one hand, totally predictable, cheesy line. Of course, it's a reprise of Picard's mom saying, look up to him and the Borg Queen, Bikyurati saying that to Picard. But so look up is part of the theme, but it just worked so well. And I was impressed with that. And then the episode continued to impress me with the scenes with Picard and the key, and Picard and Q following the key in the little atrium thing. And then Picard hugging Q at the end, and Q, that the timing, the editing of the snap was just perfect. You know, everything that all lined up really, really well, to go into this nice denouement for the season.
So Picard absolved himself. Basically, by putting that key, he's accepting his choice. He has a chance to change it, and he's not changing it. So he's accepting himself. He's absolving himself of all guilt because he's made the decision to be like, I would do this all over again. But like, what if he regrets that decision later, and he regrets absolving his regrets?
He's going to have to get a ragtag team of fellow friends together with a spaceship and travel back in time.
They could pick Rios up.
It can be like a whole A-team through time business.
When Picard said look up at the spaceship,
yeah.
How come no one was like, hey, why isn't Rene Picard Rene Picard was on there, but how come Picard wasn't like, wait, you're supposed to be up there?
I think Picard sussed out the plan because including everyone watching the show, sussed out the plan because it's real fucking obvious.
He's done a lot of missions, that guy.
He knows what's about to happen.
He knew.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He knew that he knew that he knew.
He knew. He knew. He knew. That he knew that Talon was going to do this plan as soon as they said the whole, like, there must be one Rene who lives and one Rene who dies. And he looked at Talon and he was like, I fucking know what you're going to do with your little morphing business.
Morphing business.
And then she was all like, later, Picard.
Later.
Later. Later. We're not going to talk about this right now in front of all these people.
So was it confirmed? It wasn't confirmed or denied that Laris is the super daughter of Talon. We don't know Laris's relationship.
People super look daughter. The same.
And like, and I think I brought this
it's another star. It's just it's a convention of Star Trek and Shakespeare. You have the same actors playing different roles.
Okay, yeah.
Including sons and daughters and unrelated people have similar whatever.
Okay, so I get the son and daughter thing, how they look exactly the same. It's like a fun movie, play, TV show trope thing of like, oh, let's have the daughter and the son look exactly the same. That's fun to do. So it's not uncommon, so that's fine. But if she was like a super distant relative, I mean, this isn't the Patty Duke show or something. You can't have identical cousins, right?
Like, a hot dog makes her lose control.
A hot dog? What?
A hot dog. Theme song.
It is part of the theme song. And do you think
this is a hot dog?
Do you think that was meant to?
They say
a
hot dog.
Was that a sexual subtext on the Patty Duke show? Do you think?
Well,
a hot dog makes her lose control.
Oh, Patty likes to rock and roll. A hot dog makes her lose control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Given the placement of like the rock and roll,
they're
line
suggesting that she's a promiscuous young woman
versus her English cousin who's like all
who's
proper
uptight and proper. All right, hold on. Okay, I rolled that's a dirty note. I rolled a 14, which means we must take a quick break.
I knew that was what's gonna make sense. <in a minute. laughs>
I know I'm super predictable tonight, probably because I just watched the finale of Star Trek Picard season 2, in which the first half of the episode was super predictable. Okay, we'll take a quick break and wrap up this discussion and move along home to our next episode, which we are also recording tonight. Be right back. We're back.
So this is going back to what you were saying at the beginning of this season, when I was like, well, why does Talon look like Laris? And you were like, just the same actors. And I was just like, no, they can't just be the same actors. They must have some relation. And it turns out they do. They're both Romulan, but it doesn't explain whether or not they're related.
Yeah.
We just both know they happen to be both Romulan.
I think
they're
all related, aren't
they? Which makes it even more confusing.
They all know
the Romulans are like the Habsburgs.
Well, they all know each other. It makes it
more confusing because it's like, why do you have two Romulans that happen to look the same but aren't related at all? It would have made almost more sense if one was just some completely different species, and they put different makeup on her. So they could have put different makeup on her.
One has an Irish accent.
But they wanted to play with the psychological factors, tugging at Picard, a constant reminder of the person he loves back at home,
right.
Who he rejected her love for him because he's a dumb old fool.
He's a dumb old
fool. He's a silly old coot.
So, but then, okay, then we talk about Corey and Soji and Dash, right? Dash, rather. Dash. They were, Soji and Dash were created from Data.
Dash, isn't it?
Dodge. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
They were created from Data. Yes, I know that song. So Soji and Dodge were created from Data by Dr. Maddox or something, or isn't that the deal?
And
Jurati.
Bruce Maddox and Jurati.
So
when they weren't making cookies.
So
and when they weren't making a whoopee.
So presumably they Corey,
I remember that much of season
so
one.
So Corey, I forget, did they say Corey is an android or Corey's
she's a clone. Some sort of genetic monstrosity.
So Soji and Dodge were made in the likeness, we're to assume, of Corey. Not necessarily, but it's safe to assume.
Maybe there's some sense memory in Data's business.
Or maybe since she's a traveler person, maybe she influences other Soong ancestors, descendants, other Soong descendants.
Okay.
And I mean, because, you know, Data paints the picture that has her in it or something, right?
So it's okay, right? Yes, he does, doesn't he? There, he does have some picture of her. So okay, so
and I think
she's in his brain.
I think Data and Lore and before. I think part of what Soong did was, and I could be mistaken, but I think he did some sort of mapping from his own brain into the androids to help like bootstrap the whole mind bone.
So the relation.
I could be just inventing that. But I don't think so. I think it's a recollection and not an invention.
I think there's enough evidence to suggest that there is more of a relationship between Corey, Soji and Dash than there is between Talin and Laris.
Absolutely.
100%.
And then
but little emoji 100 icon. 110%. That little 100 emoji flying and right at you.
All this, as far as Soong goes, all the Soongs we know are directly related. They're all assholes, some a little bit more than others.
Pretty much, except for Data.
Yeah, they have varying degrees of violent asshole.
Adam Soong seems to be the biggest asshole.
Although Data, I mean, there was that one thing, was it Kivas Faho or whatever, the guy, the collector fellow?
Chiba Mato.
Where Data was totally going to murder him, and they were all like, we beamed you out just in time. Data was all like, I totally fucking pushed the button, but you beamed me out. He's like, I was totally going to murder that motherfucker. So Data has it in him as well.
Yeah.
He also got
he's fully functional.
It's just strangled people to death.
So when Q was saying that, he goes, I'm dying alone. I don't want that for you. He goes, humans, your griefs, your pains fix you to moments in the past long gone. So he's talking about like humans being stuck in the past. But then Guinan's revelation in episode 8 was like, when something inside you is broken, it stays with you. You live in the past. Until you're able to reconcile it, even if it's painful. You do the work because you want to evolve. So Q is just saying you humans are stuck in the past like a bunch of stupid pants. And Guinan was like, you guys are a bunch of self-confronting awesome people because you deal with your
they
shit.
Have different,
but it's like the same. It's the same thing. Different perspective.
I think a nuanced. Well, I don't know.
Were you saying I'm naive? Is that what you're saying? Not nuanced?
No. I don't think you're naive. I think the point
you make.
I'm
stupid?
No, I think you make an excellent observation.
Except I'm dumb?
I would suggest that the nuanced connection between them, although it may not have been fully
functional
or clearly expressed in the show, is I don't think Guinan was saying that every human goes through that. I'm saying every human has the capacity to do that.
Yes.
Some humans just never resolve their shit and thus stay trapped and broken.
Right.
So some of them do and some of them don't.
I think
Q was then coming in saying like, yeah, I'm pulling you over to the side that's got that sorted out.
I got the impression that they were both saying that this is a tendency for humans in general.
Yes. A tendency for humans in general to at least have the capacity to hold on to the past. But as you noted, Guinan's whole point in that episode was the purpose is to relive the issues until you figure out what the problem is, and then you can move beyond it. I mean, unless I'm misinterpreting your point or misrecollecting Guinan's point. Maybe not the most eloquently written thing. There's a lot of thematic overlaps here, as like I mentioned with Talon realizing that she had a similar issue to Picard, manifested a little bit differently, mm-hmm. but a similar issue about purposefully hiding from the person that they care about. But the overt connection came late. It came in this last episode. Mm-hmm. The hints of it were there before, but it came in this last episode. So some of these things, they kind of are just sort of either stating or maybe not connecting the dots as well as they might have. All right. Anything else? I'm sure there are some other points to be made about this episode. Right. There were some good musical cues
but
in it.
But maybe we don't have them.
They had some very good musical cues in this episode, including the Star Trek, the motion picture arrangement of the Star Trek's theme, right? The slight modification, because the TNG theme is a rearrangement, a modification of the theme from Star Trek, the motion picture.
Oh, that's right.
And the when they played that in Guinan's bar, briefly, they play that theme, and they play that theme all the time in Star Trek, modern Star Trek, and in Picard, but this was very specifically a slightly reverted version. It was more similar to the motion picture riff. And the other major musical theme that we got an extended version here was the First Contact music at the end, where it was all like, you know, like the First Contacty stuff. And that was playing also in Guinan's bar, where they were kind of doing when he was talking about being family.
I wanted to get straight. The Travelers are responsible for the supervisor. So Wesley,
that's new lore.
Wesley is responsible for Talon. But how do the Watchers relate to all this? Because the Travelers apparently like to watch. Wesley likes to watch.
Okay, so
the Watchers are the supervisor.
I think the Watcher was one error they made in constructing this season, and they wanted to call it the Watcher to keep people off of the track that it was a supervisor from the Gary Seven style action. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. They're meant to be interchangeable. A watcher is a supervisor. A supervisor is a watcher. The official term is supervisor.
Like what
watcher maybe is a derogatory term because that's what other people referred to them as.
Wesley said travelers like to watch too, though, apparently.
Well, sure.
Who doesn't?
I mean, they're the next level up in the management. Man. The supervisors are down, you know, they're mid-level management, and then the travelers are the upper-level management.
I see.
They get to make assignments. They get to review reports. All that jazz.
Picard said, is something going to happen for which I'll be required? Q says, must it always have galactic import? Well, it does, because there was totally a galactic event happening at the end of the episode.
They even said that's a galactic event.
Yeah, they said that. So apparently it does. I don't know if Q was being coy about that, or if they just.
I think it was just being Q was making. I was about to say he was being cute, but I think he was being cute. But I also think he was making a very important point, knowing probably that Picard was going to face this galactic event afterwards.
Which, by the way, there
and
was...
would appreciate the irony that Q is saying, "Dude, it doesn't fucking matter. Just worry about yourself right now." Then you can worry about the others.
So there was a galactic event in this, in season 3 of Discovery with the burn, and then season 4 of Discovery with the DMA. So there's been a lot of galactic events. That galactic event in this one...
They had some shit in season 2.
It didn't look that big. Now, apparently this galactic event was created by something, is what they implied. Something created it. But when you look in comparison to the ship size, it didn't look that big. I would have expected it to be bigger, but...
So, point number one... The observation you make is a...
It didn't need to be any bigger.
Is a common complaint.
It wasn't that big.
It was only, as big as it needed.
It was only
be.
A few ship sizes bigger.
It was a common complaint against these new entries into the Trek
Which
universe.
One?
That there's always these galactic events.
Oh, right.
Who said that?
Who said that?
And even to a degree, you could argue, you know, Star Trek Season 1 with the Klingon War and Discovery Season 1 with the Klingon War, Discovery Season 2, which I liked, but I forget. Mm. I just remember Pike's in it.
A bunch of shit happened.
Oh, yeah. It's got the big ball with the information and control and all that other stuff.
Ball.
These are all, I mean, major high-level events, and a common complaint is that we don't need to have these all the time. And in fact, that most of Star Trek... Even Deep Space Nine,
it's little stuff.
Which was a sort of cross-galactic war, was didn't have this kind of heightened, like, oh my God, everyone's going to fucking die attitude to it. Now, I don't mind that in general, I do appreciate the idea that it can be done too often and loses its potency.
Right.
And I do kind of feel that way now. I think during Discovery Season 4, there was some of that, like, okay, it's another, it's going to eat up a bunch of people or whatever, but destroy some planets. Okay, do we need another one of these? Or can we do some other types of stories? So,
it's a reflection of, like, the anxiety of our times.
Yeah. And
the world is unraveling.
Where this was better, I think, and almost was playing around with the real life debate around the value of these quote unquote galactic scale events, is that it appears to have been largely resolved with a continuation built in, but basically the immediate problem resolved in an instant. Like, right. It wasn't a season-long galactic event.
Yeah,
the season-long stuff was Picard coming to terms with his ship.
They just threw the galactic event in the end because they wanted it to be a surprise why they wanted it to be a surprise why the Borg were there. It was like,
and a justification.
Are the Borg up to their old tricks, or are they actually doing good
and,
this time?
And it has to be whatever they're called. They're not the Borg, because brings up yet another. This puzzles me.
Right. I still haven't read, and I haven't looked, but I haven't read anything that gives any evidence to when the original Borg were first formed.
Which is, it's irrelevant to this conversation.
It's not.
No, it is entirely irrelevant to this conversation.
No, because this conversation made me think of it.
It's okay, very
I understand
relevant.
That. But how about this? Let me carve out the,
how
the
about
scope
this?
Of this.
Shut up!
Let me carve out the scope of this conversation, because I'm making a very specific point, which is that, you know, you always see all the nonsense haters on Reddit and Twitter and stuff like that. We usually don't. Who worries about them? Who gives a shit? If you don't like the show, you don't like the show. No big deal. There's often stuff that we don't like about some of these shows too. It's not a big deal. But if you're just going to be like a piece of shit hater, that's obnoxious. But it goes beyond being obnoxious when people seem to just not get certain facts correct, like as if they didn't watch the show, where things are explained in the show and they're like, I don't understand how that happened. And one thing that maybe doesn't quite rise to that level, because enough people are commenting on it, but I'm confused as to why people think that. People on the internet keep talking about, like, I don't understand. So, like, the Borg are all different now. And, like when TNG encountered the Borg in the past, that means Jurati was in charge of the Borg.
You can't see, but Patrick is putting his fists on his hips like he's all indignant. He's like, I don't understand.
No, I don't.
Then he's going to wag his finger next.
I don't understand why people are making that assumption when it seemed very clear that Jurati and the Borg Queen have created their own separate
That's
little
a different
thing. It's probably
line.
Only this one ship. We don't have any evidence that it's anybody beyond this ship. It's this, like, one little offshoot of Borg that are doing their own culture thing that has individuality in it, and they're, like, letting people join the Borg if they want, free of their own
volition.
So it's
probably not
volition.
That big, because nobody really wants to.
Well, there's that, and then, although they didn't state it outright, sort of implicit in what Jurati was describing was also that if people wanted to leave this little fledgling collective, that they
you
should be able to do so
leave.
As well. So,
like a society of gentlemen.
This is a completely separate unit of thing that has nothing to do with the Borg that TNG, that they encountered on TNG and that Janeway dealt with in Voyager.
This is a dead
their asses.
Parrot!
So that's just something that keeps cropping up. I'm confused as to to me, that was, like, super clear in the season that that's kind of what was happening here.
Well, I just want to know when the other Borg
were
created.
Yes, and I'm not saying that it is irrelevant to want to know
it
that information. I'm just saying that has nothing to do with whether or not Jurati Borg is a whole separate little thing compared to the pre-existing Borg that have not been impacted by the timeline, because why would they be? It just doesn't. I don't know.
So when they make this pact with the Borg, they're not making it with the Borg. They're making it with the Jurati crew.
And they could have. I will say they could have.
So
made
the Borg
it clearer.
So the Borg could come back and fuck their shit up. But it showed all the Borg cubes.
We already know. Like, Janeway fucked the Borg to hell.
And then
is the new Borg.
And BQ before was seeing all her Borg cubes explode, right?
Yeah, all across multiple
dimensions. Yeah.
It always
apparently,
ends badly for the Borg.
Yeah, apparently it's weird, because I guess Star Trek doesn't prescribe to the theory of infinite dimensions and infinite universes. But
they do when the plot requires it. Like that episode with Worf going through a bunch of different dimensions.
Yeah, because Talon apparently dies in every single permutation of possibility in the
That's
universe.
A bunch,
so.
Man.
Well, I took Q Q's statement.
But it's like, IQ's but if it's infinite, she would do all of it.
I know what you're saying, Dan, in terms of like sort of quantum theory.
Well, with the concept of infinity.
Yeah, yeah, with the multiple universes.
I'm just talking about
hypothesis.
The concept of infinity. That's, if you're going to use the word infinity.
No, you are speaking of the context of infinity in the context of infinite variations, like literally every variation on a universe exists.
And all I was saying was that, and all I was saying is Star Trek does not prescribe to that theory. And I wasn't criticizing it.
They've done episodes that rely on that theory. My point, which was meant to be somewhat whimsical, was that Q stating that Talon dies in every timeline could be taken as a profound statement, yes, quote unquote infinity, quote unquote exists, except zoom zoom zoom, Q's get involved, other people get involved. There's something which supports your point, Dan. But we've seen both in Star Trek because, again, as a television show, they pick whichever construct for the universe that they think will help.
Well,
their story.
I was being a little whimsical too. They didn't do a super zoom because there was no ship to super zoom on. They just did a drony kind of panning thing.
With the NASA chatter.
When they went over the chateau.
Yeah, Jesse's all sort of hot and bothered about the NASA.
Well, that was another sort of. They moved in on a ship which happened to be some kind of rocket ship.
Right. Well, I was referring to the fact that every episode they did a super zoom.
I guess you're right. It did.
And instead,
strand of the conversation.
Instead, they did a droney pan flyover of the chateau in the
pan galactic gargle blaster
of the chateau in the chateau in the daytime, as opposed to a super zoom
and
of
a zoom
Las
out
Arena.
And a zoom Las out at the very end of the episode.
Oh yeah, they did
zoom out of the.
But it's like
you
already
hallway.
You already know that that's where they are.
But they did They did do a super duper blooper zoomer when they went through like all those planets to the.
That was meant to evoke these TNG opening.
Yeah, because like
right through Uranus.
Went right through. But the Klingons are on Uranus. Usually, when they, you know, it's interesting when they do those zooms. It like gives you a good sense of scale. That doesn't really give you any sense of scale going through the planets. You're like, this is just a bunch of planets. It's too big.
It's just space
but it was. That's
fun.
Not what they were going for.
You just got a bunch of planets.
All right. Any odds and ends? Any other little. Tids or bits.
I just wanted to. There was a line, and that line is as follows. The line that I am referring to is this. When the people were shooting BQ Roddy at the end, Picard goes, "Stand down! That's an order."
That's an order. But this doesn't qualify for your standard complaint.
No, but check it out. This is dependent on part two because then.
Real quick, new audience members. Dan does not like it. A pet peeve when somebody in authority says that's an order, but it's in the context of what are some of the examples, Dan?
Like if you're falling off a cliff and your friend's risking their life to save you, and you'd be like, "Save yourself!" They're like, "No, I won't let you die. That's an order. Save yourself. Let me die." Or if you have to like stomp on someone's brains in order to save the world, you go, "Stomp on my brains. No, I would never do that. Stomp on my brains. That's an order." You know, it's like noble for the pursuit of nobility.
It just aggravates you, that concept used often in literature.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
and media.
It's supposed to be
mostly
like
just movies and TV.
Yeah, when people are being noble blout.
All right, so apologies for the digression.
The other one is it's a good explanation. When the crew person is like, "Where's Captain Rios?" Like about a minute later, then Picard is like, "Stay on task, Helm. That's an order." And so
I'll tell you, if they do a young Picard spinoff, they got to come to you, man.
I'm good at that.
You're just fucking brilliant.
But both, I know, I'm spot on, like a spot of Earl Grey tea. But they both independent are okay places to use them. But the fact that they happen within like a minute of each other, I'm gonna say. They could have gotten away with one in that.
Silly and not Billy.
That was silly and not Billy.
Oh yeah, I forgot about our own.
Unless they were doing
ratings. I thought we were going to keep going, I was ready for it.
We should. We just forgot about it because I got distracted by these D's.
Well,
the D's
I like
20.
D's I like 20. The D&D motif as well.
Look, it would have been totally Billy if they did that on purpose, as pointing out like that situation, but they weren't doing it. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Anything else, Jesse, on your end?
The rear end.
No, I don't think so.
Hold on. Let me roll to see if I have anything else. Nope. Rolled a four. I got nothing else. Got nothing else. Okay, so that means that'll do it for us this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Although it doesn't do it for us this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, because as it happens,
yeah,
the overlords at Paramount Plus put out two episodes. I don't like this. I like getting lots of Star Trek, but I gotta say, Paramount Plus maybe in the minority, but I'd kind of like to let the finale sit for a little and then get to start the next show.
Seriously, I don't want. And it was before it was the last two to the first two.
It was worse. It was even worse. No, it was like the last three. Like Picard overlapped with like three episodes of Discovery. I think it really
especially
because it was a jarring difference in terms of the. Styles and just like the time period and keeping track of everything. It was tricky business. Now again, maybe that's due to brain degradation. But
you said doo-doo.
Yes.
When does the next Picard come out? Is there a release date for that?
No, but season three is all like filmed.
They did it.
They're just doing special effects. Probably early. Maybe after Discovery next year. Would be my guess. Early in the year. But regardless, we're gonna do our due diligence and produce our a second episode to discuss the series premiere of Star
the
Trek
serious premiere.
Strange New Worlds with Sexy Mount and other people.
some kind of Vulcan stuff going on.
So we'll be discussing it in the next episode, which is coming out on the same day.
Gooby, 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 gooby.
Recorded in minutes from this.
In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us in between this episode and the next episode.
In the meantime.
Or at any point in the future.
In the meantime.
All you have to do is contact us on social media.
In the meantime.
It's Got Star Trek. That's as simple as that. At It's Got Star Trek.
You've done that before.
I've done that too
Twitter,
many times.
Twitter.
Did you say Twitter? You can
Twitter,
do this.
Twitter and Instagram and YouTube.
Twitter and Instagram where you can
Facebook.
Message us in Twain.
You can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com. It's the website. There's some special stuff on the website that's, you know.
Very special.
Why not? It's fun. So you can go check it out. Or you can write us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. I think that does it, right? All right. So that's the end for this week. We'll talk to you shortly in the next episode.
In the next episode.
Good evening.
Hello, Corey.
And you are?
That's a very long and very complicated story.
Honestly, I've got nothing pressing.
Okay.